Myself and a gentleman named Jeff Forsenhuber. Some of you may know him from years past. He has moved on from the organization, but him and I started the first Everett's Own office in Kelowna. Prior to that, we had representatives in the area representing Everett's products and services, but nothing to the tune of an Everett's Own agency. So 12 years ago, Jeff and I started that office, and have been here at our yearly meeting for a number of years, and it's always a great time for me. Get to know faces and reconnect in a lot of ways. So I've really appreciated this time with our yearly meeting folks. So
keeps popping up on me.
I'm not sure
why. I'm not technologically with it enough to know how to stop it, but so I might have to click ourselves out of that regularly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what we want to do this morning is just talk about, sort of give an introduction to Everett's. We realize that it's maybe been a couple of years since there's been just more of a general introduction to Everett's. There's been opportunities to do, you know, more specific things and so forth. So we'll talk a little bit about the mission of Everett's, a little bit about our history and what makes us different, and then introduce some of the general services and products that we do, and also talk about the Everett's team a little bit beyond the two of us. And like I said, also we'll have plenty of time for questions, hopefully at the end as well. So Everett's is a unique Christian financial services organization. We're dedicated to helping people integrate our faith and finances. A key scripture that we use, and it shows up in our logo and some other things, is from John 15:5. It says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." And then verse 9, where it goes on a little bit later, it talks about, it says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And so that's how we like to think of how we integrate our faith and finances, is to bear fruit, and bear fruit for ministry, to help individuals bear fruit for ministry, to help organizations bear fruit for ministry. So it's because we think it's our faith that makes us look at financial decisions in a slightly different way, and so we want to honor God through the way we handle our finances. Everett's was started in 1945, so we have been doing different kinds of things for more than 70 years. It's an organization that's been around for a while. We began as closely connected to the group that has become Mennonite Church USA. Originally, the name was Mennonite Mutual Aid, but we realized in the 2000s or so, we started realizing, you know, we're really interacting with a whole lot more than just Mennonites, and we want to be open and welcoming to that. So we actually relate to close to 30 different denominational or faith groups that have similar values to us, mostly within the Anabaptist strain, but also some that wouldn't identify themselves as Anabaptists, but are closely related in different ways. And then in addition, other individuals are also welcome to work with us. We simply ask that they sign a statement that says that they share similar values with us, seeing God as the creator and manager of all things and so forth. So when it began back in 1945, the earliest thing that we did was actually providing loans to folks, primarily men, who were returning from alternate service activities, civilian public service or some of the services. And so in some sense, it was a parallel to the GI Bill. In helping people get up and going. Eventually, we began to provide burial aid assistance, which was a form of life insurance. And then over time, just kind of grew and had different things. There was a time when health insurance was a significant part of our offerings. That's no longer been the case, with just all the stuff that's changing in that arena. And so forth. But they've always had this notion of bringing together Christian ideals of stewardship and our everyday life. You know, we continue to be accountable to the church through a board that is made up mostly of Mennonites, but has folks from other other traditions as well. Since our founding in 1945, the organization has grown. There's now about $2.8 billion that we have under management, around 85,000 members that are with us in some way. And one of the things that we realize is that there's no magic moment that says, okay, I'm now a Christian steward. You know, I mean, it's kind of this ongoing journey that we're all on. And so by being part of the Everence family, you become a partner with others that are dedicated to the same ideal. You know, have similar interests, that ask ourselves questions like, how do we resource people to be faithful to the call of being good stewards? How do we help people deal with the forces of materialism and consumerism that are in our culture, and how do we respond to that, and so forth? How do we invite others to join in with the Spirit of God at work to rekindle their love for God and for all of creation? So when we talk from time to time about the Everence difference and what makes Everence different, and there's really six things that we'll talk a little bit about this morning. We're going to come back and spend more time on the faith-based planning and the stewardship investing parts of things, so I'm just going to hit real briefly the other four items that are there. One of them is participation that makes a difference. As people participate in Everence plans, one of the things that happens out of that is, as a nonprofit, we're not required to pay taxes to the government with our earnings and so forth. But what we do instead is use that money that we would be paying in taxes to fund sharing programs that will assist our members in different ways, and we'll talk a little bit more about them along the way. And we actually we're required to do that with certain parts of our work, but we've also chosen to do that with other parts of our work. So really, practically everything that we do feeds into this opportunity of sharing for others, and that can be both in a congregational setting, but also on an individual setting, is the way that we share with folks. Another piece that we take part in is church loans, through our credit union, churches can apply for loans, whether it's for building projects or renovations or a line of credit for management purposes, kinds of things. Sort of an aside, I've been struck by the amount of conversation that there has been related to solar panels this week, and talking about the solar panels that were put in at camp and so forth. And it's kind of ironic timing for me, because if I wake up early enough tomorrow morning, I can go to the congregation that I worship at home. We're putting solar panels on the roof of our congregation, because what we realized is, it makes sense for us to do it, but we didn't have the current capital to do it, and so we've taken out an Everence loan, and for the next however long, we will budget the same amount for utilities, and whatever the savings in that is, we'll be using to repay the loan, and then with the idea that for us, we figured the payback time is about eight to 10 years, and so forth, and so at that point, then that frees up that money for other kinds of mission. So that's just kind of one example of how this can work. There's also loans that when I talk about loans that yeah.
What kind of percentage interest?
Yeah, in my leaving the congregation, I'm no longer involved with it anymore. I know when we were talking about it, the interest rate that we were using for our planning purposes was 4.5%. I don't remember where it ended up actually being, whether it was 4.5%. Do you have a sense there?
I don't.
I know there's a range, and churches don't have credit ratings, but at the same time you provide information. I think it was the last couple of years of our budget and things like that, and so they do try to kind of score in a sense what that is, and also in the loans that promote care of the world part, there's also a discount for certain kinds of things. So like on an individual level, if you're getting a fuel-efficient car, there's a I'm not sure what the, I think like a 0.5% or something like that discount, or, and I think the same thing applies for solar panels, you know, and things that you're doing for energy efficiency, for example. But yeah, but I think that was, I know that when we checked with another, the credit union in town that we actually have had our business with a long time, the credit union, the local presence is fairly new, the Everence part of it. We were able to get better terms through Everence than through the other credit union in town. So, yeah. Then there's also what we call a rebate for missions, and this is, again, some of that, this is another way that the participation that makes a difference kind of spills over into that. The rebate for missions, if you get an Everence credit card, the, you know, the amount that organizations have to pay to Visa for the, you know, for using the credit card, a portion of that amount that, that Everence receives in there actually gets set aside for missions. And each year they'll send out a ballot to people with Everence Visa cards and invite them to respond with where do we want to support this year, you know, from a number of different things. So those are the, just a real, you know, high-level view of those four things. Let's jump back then to those first couple of items and so forth. So
I want to talk about our faith-based planning process and what it looks like and how does it happen. The diagram that you're seeing on your sheet of paper is pretty small. It's pretty small on the screen, too. But because we are an organization that is based on faith and values, we do begin talking with individuals and businesses and congregations about your values. And that's where the left, bottom left-hand quadrant would indicate. And our stewardship process, as we talk about this, is helping us understand what is important to you. What is your calling or your mission, and what are your talents and goals? And that's what that first quadrant would that's where the conversation would lead for us in this process. As we move up straight from there, we talk about what it means to live responsibly in the present, how you can best use your gifts that God has entrusted with you, and how do you use them to take care of yourself and your family and others. As we move to the right, to the top right-hand quadrant, we talk about how to prepare for the future. A lot of times that does involve thinking about savings and retirement, socially responsible investments, and so forth. And the bottom right asks how we might give generously. And certainly this quadrant is different from other financial institutions, but we do feel that this is a significant part of the conversation. And we want to include that in our engagement with individuals and businesses and congregations alike. So as we are intentional about that process and about the generosity part, we'll talk a little bit more specifically how that can be integrated into your plan. But this is essential to the God that we serve. And we want to be, again, talking about that with our folks. So the goal of this process is to be a roadmap, a journey that you can take along with you in helping you make good, informed financial decisions that integrate your own faith values with that. The second part of what makes Everence different is how we go about socially responsible or stewardship investing. And we are thinking about this more holistically. And we do this on a three-pillar idea. You know, much of our stewardship investing, or socially responsible investing, goes along with our own mutual fund family called Praxis Mutual Funds. We have reached a very large or very significant threshold within our Praxis Mutual Funds by having $1 billion under assets under management. And that does make us the seventh largest socially responsible investing mutual fund family out there. So it's a significant threshold that we have met, and that does allow us to be more significant in the SRI world, in that arena. But again, we go through a three-pillar process. The first part of that process that a lot of other socially responsible investing firms do is through company selection. And the first part of that company selection is just doing an exclusionary screen or negative screen. So we will exclude companies that are involved in alcohol and tobacco, gambling, military manufacturers, and so forth. Again, these are pretty common in the SRI world and arena. But a lot of SRI firms stop there. But we want to take that additional step, and that's how we do a qualitative screening process, which includes rewarding companies that do good work, both in their services that they provide and how they relate or interact with their employees. So that may mean investing in solar or wind energy, but it also could mean looking at, again, positive effects on how companies treat their employees. A good example of that is Costco. Costco is an organization that does provide a minimum wage to their workers of $15 or more, and a leading edge retailer in terms of how they pay their workers. We also feel that in owning a particular company, we have a voice, and that voice is shared in our shareholder advocacy success, and Lyle will expand upon that.
Yeah, so I mean, one of the things that we realize is that if you want to make a difference in how a business does its business, you have to be at the table. You could, in theory, stand outside the doors and picket and whatever, but if you really want to make a difference, you have to be at the table. And so we found that owning parts of companies that are making decisions can be a way of doing that, because it really you need a surprisingly little amount of ownership to be able to make a difference. So just to kind of tell you a story. Once you become an owner, an investor, you're able to bring shareholder resolutions, for example, to meetings, and so we've done that from time to time. When we've realized that a decision that they're making sort of conflicts with our faith values. Many times we've also in conversation with other socially responsible investing, other SRI organizations. We've joined together and pooled our resources in making the contacts and so forth. And in many cases, we've been able to have conversation that has resulted in change even before getting to that shareholder resolution kind of thing. So, for example, here's kind of what happened with Hershey's. Hershey's is one of the largest chocolate companies in the world. And we became aware that about 70% of their cocoa was coming from places that were using child slave labor. And we said, that it does not make sense. That is not who we are. That's not the kind of organization that we want to be part of. And so we began having conversations with other SRI organizations, and together we went to Hershey's. And over a period of several years, we got them to change their practices. And so you'll now see this label on certain products of theirs. Their Bliss line they have already moved to the point of not using any cocoa from sources that are using child slave labor. And so, and they've also committed by the year 2020 that they would be doing that with all of their lines. So I had the thing about saying that there would be a chunk one. You can do that part. You do that part. Yeah. So, and I noticed that it says the serving size is 5 pieces, but I don't think of 5. That's only a starting point for me. I always thought you get the packages that say they're the fun size. You know, I'm thinking the fun size is the big one. That's a whole lot more fun.
2 pound bars.
Yeah, exactly. Those are that should be the fun size. So yeah, help yourself there. But anyway, that's by the year 2020, Hershey has committed to getting all of their cocoa from sources that is not using child slave labor. And the other part of that is you realize Hershey is a major player in the game. And so when Hershey makes that kind of change, it pressures other organizations to do the same. So that's just kind of one story of how we have seen this as a way of using Christian witness. It's our way of telling the world about how our faith influences our thinking. The third...
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I like the fact that you, rather than saying, you know, you're utilizing areas where there's child slavery, we're just not going to invest in your company. Rather, you said, you know, hey, we have a voice and we can actually force you,
exactly.
force you to change,
yeah,
or
yeah.
influence you to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's I think that's been huge. I mean, we have several people who that is their role, is working with organizations to do that. And you know, that's one of those places where I've certainly the connection that I've seen between Friends and Mennonites, both of us I think would have that mindset that says, yeah, you know, it can be helpful to stay out, but it's also important for us to be in the game. You know,
there's an organization called ICCR, Interfaith Center for Corporate Responsibility, and it's essentially bringing together all different faith groups to help present a bigger voice than just ours alone. And so it's really fun and unique to see Mennonites and Catholic nuns and Baptists all in the same room that may have a particular value system or wanting to make change and coming together and just presenting a bigger voice. And those organizations will listen when shareholders are making those questions or making resolutions to the board to act on. And so it's been a significant part. Mark Regeer is kind of our leader in Everence in making these resolutions and presenting on an SRI basis to the ICCR, and he's a significant player in that organization as a whole, and well respected as well. So we feel really good about his leadership and providing support for these change.
Yeah, he hosted a gentleman from Great Britain. This would have been before Brexit. I don't know that it would have made a difference in that part of it, but anyway, that was also a pretty major player in the British economy, and they were, you know, sharing information back and forth about it. So it indeed is a pretty major part of it. The third part of it that we talk about is also community development investing, and in some sense, this is a little bit of is another take on that getting involved piece, because a fair amount of our work also involves then. Around the country and around the world, community development investing, we invest in things that are going to make a difference in a community. And so it can be, in organizations that are working at low-income housing or, microfinance in different places, startup companies, you know, working with ecological activities and so forth. So in essence, the community development initiatives, they provide these innovative ways to channel investment dollars to make a difference around the world. One example, following Hurricane Katrina, we invested about $300,000 through a local credit union in Mississippi to be able to provide loans to those who are trying to get back on their feet. And those can be both, these are things that happen both domestically and internationally. So like I said, there's these three pillars that we use within our socially responsible or stewardship investing component. You know, this company screening that we do, both positive and negative, and then the shareholder advocacy and community development investing is sort of the three parts to there. So for a little while now, we'll also want to kind of run through some of the general services that Everence provides.
These are available, again, through individuals and businesses and congregations. One of the, again, significant parts of who we are and what we do, at least from a historical standpoint, is how we handle risk management through our insurance side of the house in providing life insurance, Medicare supplement, counsel on prescription drug plans that are available, long-term care, disability, and annuities, which are a form of savings, but it is technically an insurance product out there. We do manufacture our own annuities in-house, and we do manufacture our own Medicare supplement in-house. In fact, that's a pretty significant product that we have to offer, not only for the sustainability of our organization, but also providing competitive rates and certainly the customer service piece to who we are. We have found to be somewhat unmatched within the market as a whole. Our investment side, again, with Praxis Mutual Funds, is a significant piece in what we do in our own faith value system. We certainly do want to approach Praxis as a player, as a major player in how we talk about savings, but it's not the only player. We do have opportunities to access other mutual fund families, which there are 10,000 of them out there in the mutual fund world, and we have access to almost all of them. Also providing retirement plans or retirement plan counsel, which I'll get to in a second here. We also have the opportunity for financial consultations, but also on a more significant basis, or at least what we have seen, is through our access with Lutheran Social Services up in Minneapolis and providing debt management consultations for folks who are really, really struggling with making their budget work. Maybe they don't even have a budget, but seeing their expense level exceeding what income is coming in on a monthly basis. So having access to LSS allows people to make anonymous contact with them, and they're able to approach their situation with privacy and with empathy and allowing them to make a better path, a better journey for them. It's you have the ability to make three phone calls to LSS on a free basis, and we as Everence subsidize that cost for individuals. So it's been a good part of the service that we can provide as well. We also do trust and estate administration and planning, working with folks on how to develop a will or trust. Certainly those are two things that an attorney will have to ultimately write up for you, but we can help facilitate that conversation in the beginning so you know how to approach that meeting with the attorney. And as we talked about before, our stewardship investing principles and philosophy.
And even, some of those feed into the stewardship investing. Some of the things that we'll talk about a little bit later, donor advised funds and so forth, feed on that as well.
Right. So recently, in the last year and a half to 2 years, Everence has been thinking about how do we do comprehensive financial planning, kind of the Everence style, the Everence way. You know, certainly we've been doing some sort of process like this for the last 10, 12, 15 years, but nothing that has been very concise or very comprehensive in terms of how we do the process. And so we undergone a pretty significant capital procedure in terms of creating a significant process, and we have really devised this plan to help folks who are looking for advice and counsel in a written financial plan. So we do this, and it's an approach that is on a fee-based process where you're essentially paying a fee for a written financial plan. The role as the planner or myself would be to be a fiduciary and not someone to essentially sell a product or service. So it's a significant process, and we engage in the seven principles of financial planning. So we'll look at cash flow planning, protection planning, investment planning, retirement, tax planning, estate planning, and charitable planning. We also have access to a software called Vine Vision 360. It's through eMoney, and that allows the individual, the participant, and the planner to put things online and really consolidate the process as a whole. It's a very robust online system where you can have access to a snapshot of your total net worth, but then also have the ability to make or access the resources in terms of other retirement planning or investment planning scenarios.
And can't you also like do what if scenarios that would say, you know, what would it look like if I put an extra $100 in my retirement account each month or whatever? Those kinds of things, right?
That's right. That's right. So along with that written financial plan, again, as a fiduciary, we are acting in the best interest for you as the client. And if there are recommendations that come about, you know, you're able to implement those with anyone that you would like. So we are being a coach, again, a fiduciary in that role, and is a very comprehensive way of looking at planning. Now, there are ways to just look at one or two of these planning components. So, for example, if you just wanted to engage in a retirement planning scenario, we could do that as well instead of going through all of the seven different planning components. So that is also a way to engage in the planning process. Talked a little bit about our banking services. We don't have necessarily a bricks and mortar banking or credit union here in Iowa. We do have the ability or have the option to access the credit union network across the country, where you're able to, if a credit union is participating in that network, to actually go into that particular branch and do your banking services like you were in an Everence Federal Credit Union. It's not necessarily robust in Iowa, where you have that opportunity to go into a credit union and do that, but more and more branches are going into that shared branch network system. So we do have the ability to do your normal banking services, provide loans, like Lyle mentioned earlier, and you know, your other typical banking services.
And the Visa card would be one that would be, you know, is not as dependent on a bricks and mortar kind of place or whatever. It has, like I said earlier, has that rebate permission as part of it. But yeah. My sense is that there's not the credit union presence in general is not as strong in Iowa as it is in some other areas. But that is a place, and electronic banking is always there too,
right?
The charitable services piece. A lot of our charitable services things, including the writing of gift annuities that Kent named, is are through our affiliate, the Mennonite Foundation. The Mennonite Foundation was organized in 1952, and it's been part of Everence ever since that. We're a donor-directed foundation, which means that donors recommend which charities will benefit from the gifts. So, you know, each year donors can give money to the Mennonite Foundation and then pass it on from there. In 2013, we received over $50 million in gifts to the Mennonite Foundation, and we distributed over $39 million to that. And that difference, that 50 minus 39, the reason that was is some people will create what's called a donor-advised fund, and it's sort of it's a way, we'll talk a little bit more about that down the road, but that's why the difference there. Our expertise is in using planned giving tools such as gift annuities to help people meet their charitable goals, and these are the kinds of things that we serve both individuals and nonprofit organizations and congregations, and we do that on a lot of different ways. One of it is we're in the process of setting up a training time. That will include Quakerdale and a number of other nonprofit organizations to help them think about how do they go about inviting folks that care about them to be generous. Some of the services that we provide, these donor-advised funds, they can be particularly helpful in managing a person's giving in a couple of different ways. One of them is, say you have 10 different organizations that you want to support. Well, one way that you can do that is just writing one single check to the Mennonite Foundation and then telling them to pass it on to the different organizations. You also, if there's reasons for tax purposes where it makes sense to do a significant amount of giving in 1 year, but you actually would like to support the organizations over several years, you know, perhaps for tax reasons, you're selling a farm and you want to move you want to deal with the capital gains issues in the year that you sell it. You can make the contribution to the donor advised fund during that year, receive the tax advantage in that year, and then they can actually hang on to that. And if you have a certain amount of money in that, they will even invest it on your behalf, so that amount can grow, and then that can be a stream of giving that you can do in the years to come. In some ways, it's kind of an easy way out, an easy alternative to creating a personal foundation, if you will. You know, you can do that kind of giving in that way. Charitable bequest plans can be part of that as well. One of the things that's nice about using the Mennonite Foundation is, say you want to include a number of charities in your will, and you realize you could go to your attorney, write those into your will, and say 2 years down the road you decide, there's another organization that I would like to include in our will too. Well, if you do it through your will, you have to go back to the attorney and rewrite the will and so forth. An alternative to doing that is to simply include the Mennonite Foundation in your will and then have on file with Mennonite Foundation the instructions. These are the percentages that I want to have it distributed to. And then if you change, it's just a matter of updating that form. So there's some things like that can be helpful. Gift annuities, as Kent talked about, is a contract between you and Everence, and those can be used to provide a stream of income throughout your lifetime, but then also can benefit charity at different ways along the way. So there's all kinds of ways that we can help. Sometimes we frame them in three different ways. There's gifts that help now, the donor advice funds that I talked about, or family endowments. Another one that can be a big player is commodity giving. If you have if you're a farmer or have farmers in your congregation, for them it is often very advantageous to give by giving corn or soybeans and so forth, because it allows the farmer to not record that as income, saves on self-employment tax in addition to the reduction on the income tax side of things. So just running through one scenario, it appeared that somebody who gives $1,000 of corn as opposed to giving $1,000 worth of cash could save anywhere from $200 to $300 by giving in that way. Or another way of looking at it is to say that a person could probably may be able to give $1,500 worth of corn and not cost them any more than giving $1,000 worth of cash, and the organization benefits even more with that. There are gifts that that help later, like I said, the charitable bequest plans. A fair number of people will include charities as a beneficiary for life insurance, and that can also be a helpful tool in avoiding estate taxes down the road. And then there's also the gifts that give back, the gift annuities kinds of things, the charitable remainder trusts that can give to an organization at a number of different times in the process. So far we've mostly talked about things that can happen at the individual level. There's also things that we can do in working with congregations. We'll talk about a couple of these in a little bit more detail. Matching grants are something that congregations can apply for matching grants to supplement perhaps their benevolence funds that are in the congregation, either to support folks in the congregation or local folks outside the congregation as well. Kent talked a little bit about the free budget and debt counseling, so forth, that we have through Lutheran Social Services. We're also able to provide educational resources, and that can happen in a number of different ways. There are one of the things. I'll see if I still have connection to the internet. If you're involved in congregational leadership, if you go to Everence's website under the Planning and Education tool. There are a number of stewardship education tools here. Some resources for adult education, some youth education, and so forth. There are also, under the congregational education piece, there are some pastor resources. And we'll see if I can get to... Shucks, I've lost my connection. Never
mind. Type in capital Iowa, just no space, capital Y yearly.
Okay.
Same as password, the same way. Did he accept? Login. Good. And then allow their notification.
The right, the left.
And once that screen loads, you'll have internet.
Okay.
In theory.
Yeah. So what I'm going to point you to are a number of either Sunday school kind of curriculum or resources that pastors can use in worship planning, and I'm going to point to a couple of them in particular that have been very well received. One is an end-of-life curriculum, particularly if you're a congregation that has a significant number of folks who are approaching retirement or early retirement. They have found that especially helpful. But it walks through a number of the questions that that we face as we think about our own mortality. Barring Christ's return, the mortality rate is still at 100% for us. That's something that we don't often like to talk about in advance, but it's there are some things there that can help us think about what it means to prepare for our death, how to have conversations with people around us, whatever. So that's one that I know a fair number of congregations have used and have found very, very helpful. There's also a pretty new one that's on this website, and these are all downloadable for free. I guess that one must be on the other. There are a number of them rather than spending time, I'll do it. There's one recently on with like six lessons from the Gospel of Luke. Luke is the gospel that especially talks about wealth and the relationship to salvation. So anyway, those are there, and like I said, they're virtually all downloadable for free, and they can be adapted. There are some for things for children, youth, adults at all different ages, and so forth. There are other, and then also, you know, we make ourselves available to come to congregations and do workshops, seminars, and so forth. Have you done many with Medicare supplement? I know that's been a popular one in some areas.
I have. We typically like to do those in the early fall, right before the annual open enrollment time frame. A lot of people have questions during that time, and it's not easy to navigate yourself for those that are involved in looking at a Part D of Medicare, or even understanding Medicare, or so even Social Security. So those types of resources and workshops that we can provide and help folks navigate through those planning opportunities.
Another thing that we do is we invite congregations to identify an advocate within their congregation. That can be a link. That can be a link to Cantor I. And one of the things that they can do is share some of the resources with people in our congregations. And the level of activity of advocates plays a role in how much matching grants might be available for your congregation. So. Thinking of somebody who has a passion for that, I would be glad to have conversation with any of you to see if we might have an advocate in your role. And then church relations rep, that I'm available to work with pastors and advocates in a congregation to think about how we can do things. And we named the church loans earlier. And again, those can be used for several different things related to your congregation. So how do we do all of these things and still deliver competitive services? I described some of this earlier, that when a church member uses an Everence plan or service, also we receive individual contributions from folks along the way, that provides funds that can be used to feed back into to church members and community needs and also the educational kinds of resources. And again, just sort of reminders, who we can work with Everence. If your congregation has an advocate, or if you want to have one, that's one place that we link. The link through Kent as a financial advisor, and the link through me as a person working with church relations and charitable services. And Kent also does a fair amount of work with charitable services as well, too. So the things that require licensing, selling products or whatever, you would work with Kent. Other kinds of more educational things, I may be the particular connecting point there. So, are there questions that come to mind on how Everence operates or things that we do or don't do or whatever?
Okay, well, I'm 60 years old, looking at retirement in 5 years or thereabouts. How would Everence help me?
Yeah, so...
Tell you to start sooner.
I started. I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. What do they say? The best time to invest was 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. You know.
Well, yeah. Obviously, as we look at that Vine planning process that we talked about early on, you know, we're going to help with the conversation about what the goals and objectives are for you, what retirement or that next stage of life, even if it's not full retirement or not working, what that may look like, and help assess where you are now and how you may be on track to fulfilling those goals and objectives, or do we need to make some recommendations on how to make a change to help meet those goals and objectives. So it's a conversation to begin with about understanding your faith and your value system, analyzing the data. Basically, it's gathering all the information, which includes what sources of income that you may have in that next stage, what Social Security looks like, when you are able to enroll in Medicare. Health insurance is a significant part of that next stage in helping you understand what those costs are, what the inflation has been, and how to plan for those types of expenses in retirement. So we do have a pretty robust, I think, informational system on how Social Security works, how Medicare works, certainly Part D. But after the conversation about values, presenting or getting a fact finder together, which is collecting the data, you know, we do the analysis and provide recommendations and mutually decide on how to implement and then monitor that going forward. If we need to make changes down the road or congratulate you on the process that you've taken thus far and so forth. So.
Now, what if you're within a year?
Same process. It's just that you're closer to that next stage. So, you know, we're going to engage in that conversation wherever you are on that process. You know, certainly when time is on your hands, there's different scenarios that can be made. When there's not necessarily time, that's fine. You know, we can help folks, you know, wherever they are in that.
So, do you have agents or representatives of Everence right here in Iowa?
Yes. So my office is in Kelowna. But able to, you know, travel around the state. I'm responsible for the entire state of Iowa, but also the bordering states. I have, you know, opportunity to travel out there as well. My licensing is having an insurance license within state here in Iowa and the bordering states, and also the investment side of the house, and having four different securities license, and then also you know, certified financial planning training, and able to do comprehensive financial planning as well. So I'm in terms of being the advisor here in the state,
and like the financial planning part of it, that typically is like 5 or 6 conversations with you, and then more like annual checkups, if you will, so to speak, right?
Yeah, it depends on how frequent we want to be monitoring the process after that written financial plan is given to you and the recommendations are provided. You know, again, we're going to mutually decide on how to implement
that. And the written financial plan is something we pay for?
So that would be, yeah, the comprehensive financial plan would be a fee-based. So you're paying for that plan. You're paying for the expertise, not only from me, but also Everence as a whole. We have significant resources back in Goshen in terms of having an attorney on retainer that we can, or I can.
So how much does that cost?
It depends on what kind of resources are there now and how much time it'll take to analyze and provide that written financial plan. On average, it's anywhere from $800 to $1,200 for that, which also provides the access to the e-money, the Vine Vision 360 software. Basically the coaching and the consultation services for an entire year. After that year, there may or may not be a recurring fee. Just depends on what the expectation is from you and from me in terms of how we want to continue to monitor that. So on average, it's $200 to $250 a year after that, but it may not be anything in terms of whether you want to continue that level of engagement or not. I mean, not everyone is a comprehensive financial planning prospect. We can engage in certain aspects of the comprehensive planning process with just looking at a particular module, and that may be a significantly less fee for just looking at that module. Or the other way we can engage in our services is just looking at a particular product, or if you have questions about Social Security or want someone to look at your current retirement savings account, we're able to do that, not with any fee with that type of consultation, but you know, if there are recommendations that come along with that analysis, you know, certainly we would invite you to make those recommendations with us, and we'd be happy to do that.
If you haven't, well, I have TIA Craft, and mm-hmm. they have right now, they have
that built
into it, the plan. So, probably $800, something I already have. Certainly
would be beneficial to hear about your Medicaid supplement,
Medicare supplement.
Okay. Yeah, healthcare is a challenge for folks to really understand what the options are, and we'd be happy to have that discussion.
Yeah. If you have investment funds currently spread out with two or three different, because of not job changes and things, is it possible to consolidate them without incurring a lot of expense?
Right. So if you have separated service from those participating employers, you would have an opportunity to consolidate those into an individual retirement account, or even consider rolling those over into a current employer retirement plan. So yeah, there's options that you have.
There's expenses with rolling over?
Potentially not. I mean, there isn't going to be a taxable event because you're going from one qualified account to another, so it's not a taxable event. Depending on where it the existing assets are now. There may be some distribution fees that is paid to those existing firms or not. It just depends. It also depends on whether or not employer contributions have been coming in, if you are vested in those employer contributions. So really the best way is to analyze those statements, what kind of plan it's invested in, and that would provide you the framework to the recommendation that would be either to go into an individual retirement account or if your existing plan accepts incoming rollovers, just to do that. So it's also good to understand where those assets are invested in, because depending upon what kind of advice you have received, from those different accounts, may not be the best advice that you're receiving, because that could be only looking at that particular account. But if you have an aggregate of two or three, you need to look at your overall asset allocation to make sure it's matching what your time horizon is and what your personal risk tolerance is for those investments.
And that's one of the places where the Vine 360 tool can also be helpful in terms of monitoring those, that if it ends up making sense to keep them in separate buckets, or whatever, you can monitor it a little bit easier that way as well.
Yeah, and we, in terms of Everence and our role, we can certainly work with someone like you to help analyze those particular accounts, and that's not necessarily going through a comprehensive financial planning process, because we're only engaging kind of one planning idea, if you will. So just to let you know how we may integrate that conversation with you.
Yeah. And that can include, then thinking about as you're moving towards there that, you can do your generosity in different ways depending on kind of which bucket the money is in. I'm sitting with a combination of Roth IRAs and regular IRAs and some money that's housing allowance from being a pastor, and so I've got all these variables there, and that's helpful to have a conversation with somebody like Kent to think about how each bucket may have different parameters in the way you can use it.
Good question.
Any other questions? And we'd be glad to talk individually with any of you too. I also have a 6-hour drive this afternoon, and having a whole bag of chocolate beside me is not a good thing. So we'll grab a few more
you go to dump them on Berkeley College's table.
There you go. That's actually what you just thought we were opening the bag. I actually just kind of snarfed them off their table and stuff.
Better plan yet.
Yeah. So. Good. So it's fun. I don't know what your Ken didn't ask me to say this, but I don't know what your perceptions of financial planners are. But I think you probably could tell from Kent's personality that he's not the hammer on you kind of guy. He's a good guy to work with. Whether it's the particular questions of Medicare supplement or a little, or the whole. Whole range of things.
I have an annuity with Northwestern Life, my retirement fund, Terry, correct?
Mm-hmm.
One of the benefits I found from working with Everence is that you don't have to explain, our Christian value of money to an industry that deals with money all the time.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a stereotype, but the greedy stockbroker, if you will, that, what's enough, $1 more?
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, they're buying, how can we bear much fruit for the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to explain that concept the way you may have to a non-Christian financial advisor.
Yeah.
And with a institution behind them as well that's Christian based.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, there's a lot of Christians working for Edward Jones or whoever.
Right? Yeah, right, right.
But
right.
Edward Jones doesn't have necessarily the same mindset that,
right.
that I see Everett's having.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And we talk, or at least that's our intention. And it's like going to our yearly meeting in our national conference every year. I mean, we have that sense of worship, we have that sense of furthering the kingdom, and it's just a great feeling. And I'm assuming, Lyle coming on board from several years in ministry, I haven't had this conversation with him, but I would assume that there hasn't been much of a change necessarily with what his work has been with
right.
serving his congregation to
right.
in his role now.
Serving the
church. Yeah. That part of it has felt like a seamless transition. There's plenty of the nuts and bolts of the technical stuff that I'm learning, but in terms of sort of feeling like I'm in the right spot serving God, that part has been seamless. And talking about the use the Costco example as a good place to work, I mean, quite frankly, if Everence was the kind of place that you would invest in, we would my sense is we would be a candidate for investing. I mean, as in it's very much felt like a great organization to work for, and I've been struck by the enthusiasm. It was amazing to hear the number of people who have, as I was coming on board, who would tell me this is a great place to work, And I think that enthusiasm then carries through in how we can interact with folks with joy. Because for me, one of the most significant things is about living life with our hands open, not with closed fists. And I think that's one way of describing the Everence piece, is that we want to help people live with open hands.
And it's not to say we don't have our own challenges either.
Sure.
But if during our conversations with folks or businesses, we're going to try to find ways to add value. And if we can't, we'll be honest with you and say, we can't. So I think that level of depth, that level of expertise and knowing the comprehensiveness of what planning looks like, I think allows us to be a very valuable resource for individuals and businesses as well.
Yeah. Another example would be that in some of those things, the recommendations, quite frankly, will include conversations about products that Everence doesn't offer. You'll have conversations about making sure that you're covered for health insurance and stuff like that, because we see that as part of the big picture. Whereas to use the Edward D. Jones, they're going to focus on the areas that they can serve in, or almost exclusively. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.